Okay, back to we'll go back to Chavis HaLevavos and Be'ezus Hashem. The last few weeks, we've been dedicated to solely to focusing on the current situation. And the truth is that there's a lot more to be said, and really, that's true about every day of life. So now we're going to take a step back and go back to the roots, back to the Chavis HaLevavos, continue where we left off, and let that help carry us through these times, through any times. So we're going to pick up from Shaar Bitachon, Perek Chamishi. We're kind of starting to tie up the subject of Bitachon. So for the fifth parak, this is obviously going to be based on much of what we've been seeing over the last, I think it's been more than a year that we've been in Shaar Bitachon. Let's see how he starts winding it down and tying it together. אבל ההפרש שבין הבטח אלו הליקים לזולוסוי, בעניין יסעסקוי בסיבוי סעטרף, what will the difference be practically when you look at a person with bitachon versus a person without bitachon when it comes to their material efforts, when it comes to the classic area of Hishtadlus being Parnasa, but when it comes to all material efforts, after, as we've discussed, the difference is not do you do Hishtadlus or do you not do Hishtadlus. In a general way, as we've discussed, the Hashem expects us to do Hishtadlus, to make material efforts for the things we need. Yet it's supposed to be imbued with bitachon. So which basically brings us back to the point that we've been stressing often, that the commonly asked question of where do you draw the line? Where do you do Hishtadlus and where do you apply bitachon? In general is a mistake because the implication is that the I realize the volume is long, gonna be just trying to use my vocal volume to compensate. We'll see how that works. The implication is that in those places where you're supposed to be having bitachon, trust that Hashem will work it out, so don't do anything towards it. And, but the question is, where are the areas where you don't trust that Hashem will work it out, and therefore I do things towards it? Now, both of those are mistakes, because there isn't any area that Hashem is not taking care of. Hashem is taking care of everything, and in those areas, He expects you to do your material efforts towards it. So we discussed that at length earlier, but now He's going to be putting together. Now that we understand that, really, both the person with bitachon and the person without bitachon will both be putting in the material efforts. So where will the difference be? Where will the difference be? So he says, Omar, I'll state as follows. The difference between the person with bitachon and the person without will manifest b'shiva in seven main areas. Number one is what happens if it doesn't work out the way you were aiming for? You put in the efforts and it didn't work out that way. So number one is the person with bitachon is equipped for that. He's able to take that in peace, with serenity. We might even say with joy. Because again, what is the root of bitachon? The root of bitachon is the understanding is that I'm being carried by Hashem and He's doing what's best for me. I make efforts toward what I think is the best thing for me, but Him with His broader view and His broader understanding of my needs and His broader understanding of the bigger picture is going to do what He holds is best for me, what he sees is best for me. And therefore, if it doesn't work out, the person with bitachon is accepting of what Hashem lays down in whatever the area might be. And he's capable of actually thanking Hashem when things work out for the good and when things work out for what seems to be the bad. Like the pasuk says, Hashem nosam v'Hashem lokach, yishem Hashem evoyroch. This was Eve's response to the misfortunes that came on him. He said, Hashem gave me great wealth, gave me a lot of blessing. Now Hashem took it back. May Hashem's name be blessed. K'may shekasuv, like the pasuk says, chesed u'mishpat ashira. I sing to Hashem, whether I'm put through chesed or whether I'm put through mishpat. In other words, David is saying, my trust in Hashem is such that if Hashem is putting me through something I wouldn't have chosen, if Hashem is putting me through some painful ordeal, I understand that he's doing it for my good. There's a good that's beyond what I see now. So I say to Hashem, oh, wow, thank you for putting me through this and not let me just have my way, which would have obviously gotten me somewhere where I wouldn't want to be further down the road. Now, I'm skipping a few lines. Whereas the person without bitachon, he differs in both ways. Meaning there were two points here. First of all, he's thankful for the good and thankful for the bad. So-called bad. And he's capable of recognizing and accepting and even acknowledging Hashem's chesed, whichever way it goes. So the Chavis HaLava says that the person without bitachon differs in both angles. When things work out the way he wants, oh, that's it. He takes credit. He says, wow, that was talented of me. And when things don't work out the way he wants, he says, oh, all of a sudden Hashem moved into my life. Why did Hashem do this? So, mishalel al ha-toiv. He credits himself with the good. Like the pasuk says, ki hilel rosha al tavas nafshoi. When a rasha achieves his desires, he praises himself. That was very capable of me, very wise of me. Umiskatzev beloikim alora. And when things don't work out his way, then he gets angry at Hashem. K'moshe ne'emar, like the pasuk says, v'haya ki yirav, v'iskatzev. When he goes hungry, he gets angry. V'kilel b'malkoi, u'be'lekov. And he curses his king, his god, u'fano l'malo. That's when he suddenly turns his face upward. Meaning, he's been moving through life up till now, never looking at Hashem, never noticing Hashem. When does he suddenly notice Hashem? When suddenly something goes the way he doesn't want, hey, there's Hashem. Up till now, he was never involved in my life. I'll note the beginning of that pasuk. It doesn't bring the beginning of that pasuk. Oh, no, sorry, it's the beginning of a different pasuk. But where the pasuk says, it's a pasuk that's the same idea, but the pasuk says, Iveles Adam Tisalev Darkoi Val Hashem Tizaf Liboy. Very often, a person's own foolishness messes him up, and he gets angry at Hashem. Meaning, there's two layers of this point. First of all, there's the layer where person did what he had to do, but Hashem had something else in mind. So we say, realize that this is Hashem doing it for your good. But sometimes, often what happens is, the Rambam says this, when people ask the question of why do good people suffer, the Rambam says, that is a question, of course, it's a question that has its place, but he says, all too often, the question doesn't begin. Because all too often, the answer to the question is, because you acted stupidly. He says, very often, if a person... Okay, let's try to do this without stepping on people's toes. But let's say a person jumps off a helicopter and then wonders why he banged his knee. So, yeah, just one moment. So here we say, he says, why would Hashem do this to me? And the answer is because you jumped off a helicopter. So is this always? Certainly not always, but often that is the case. But again, we're coming back to the point. We don't really have to come on to that. The point is that this is the person who, that's where he discovers Hashem in his life, where the things that he doesn't like when they happen. Question.
Boys, men, whatever, going to the army. Is that considered jumping off the
No. No, no, no. So here, this is why I'm saying we're taking a little bit of a step back here to the general picture. Let's remember, what we're learning now is not about our particular situation. Now, Hashem, we're, the situation that we're in now is that Hashem created the situation of tzara, of sakana. Here's not where we're going to apply that rule. You know where we might apply that rule? If someone decides to be reckless in this situation and do reckless things, if someone decides to be careless about the safety requirements that are relevant at this point, there we'll say that. But we definitely are saying that there is a situation where Hashem brings things on his people for his purposes. And here, no, here we go to the other dimension of it, which is Hashem is putting us through something. This is a, we don't see how. In some ways, we actually, yes, see how. Certain layers. But this is something that Hashem is moving us towards something greater for us that he has in mind. And this is not to be categorized in that category of where a person's own foolishness leads him to problems. But we're coming back to the, we are coming back to the person who stopped eating 45 minutes after he should have and wonders why he has a stomach ache. Okay. So Rabbi Avigdor Miller used to say, person wonders, why am I in the hospital with a broken leg? What is the message min Hashamayim? So the answer is that the message min Hashamayim is cross carefully. You know the story, I tell you a story with Rav Moshe Feinstein. I think I think I've told this story in the past. Tell it again. Rav Moshe Feinstein was one time, someone was giving him a ride somewhere, and the person was speeding. Now, you can imagine that if he was giving Rav Moshe Feinstein a ride, he wasn't going to a golf course. Wherever you were taking Rav Moshe Feinstein, it was for the purpose of a mitzvah, right? So this person was speeding, he was pulled over, and he was given a fine. So afterwards, he turned to Rav Moshe and he said, it says in the Gemara, that shluchei mitzvah inon yizaykin. People are involved in a mitzvah endeavor, don't come to harm. So why did this happen? So Rav Moshe said to him, you know why this happened? Because the Gemara says shluchei mitzvah inon yizaykin. The Gemara says that people are on a mitzvah endeavor, don't come to harm. So Hashem made the policeman catch you before you could hurt yourself. Okay, so that's difference number one. The person with bitachon is thankful for the good and also for what doesn't seem to be good. He acknowledges it all. If I invested time and effort and had a smashing success, I recognize that as a gift from Hashem. And if Chalila, all my time and effort went to waste and was a terrible failure, now I find myself in debt, I say, okay, Hashem, you're doing this for my greater good. Whereas the person without bitachon takes the credit for the successes and is upset at Hashem for the failures. Number two. Kabotech belekim nafshoi bimnucha. As we said, both of them are going about the material efforts. But the question is, what's going on inside? Where is the nerve level? Where's the anxiety level? The person with bitachon is going about the efforts, but with inner calm. V'libay sholei, his heart is tranquil. Mitzad agzeiros, when it comes to wondering what Hashem has in mind. L'datoi ki aboyri an higein l'toivosoi, v'oilomoi v'achrisoi. Because he says, I'm doing my efforts, I'm doing what I need to do. But I'm not concerned about the outcome because I know that whatever it is, it's where I need to get. Hashem is ultimately going to be steering me in the place I need to get, whether for my own material good or for my spiritual good. Like David Olav HaShalom said, Achle likim doy minavshi. My heart, my mind is, sorry, my soul is just quiet, not busy worrying, not fretting, because I relegate it all to Hashem, kimimenu tikvasi. My hope is toward Him. V'asheinenu b'teach b'likim, whereas the person who doesn't trust, who b'tzar tadir, who da'oga aruchka. Right, one of the Chachmei Agoyim said, when he talked about worry, the phenomenon of worry, he said, he put it in a very funny way. He said, my life is full of horrible things that never happened. Meaning what? If I think back now, the last 20 years, all the things that I was worried about and never actually happened, I see that in my mind, so much of my life was occupied with terrible things that actually never happened. But they didn't occupy a lot of space in my mind, in my life. They took up so much of my energy and so much of my emotional capacity. So he says, the person who doesn't trust is always in this distress and anxiety. He can't get away from the stress and anxiety and sadness, whether things do work out well or don't work out well. Because let's say he put in all the effort and it succeeded. So at the end, it's like, oh. But up till then, it was just stress. So the endeavor was successful. When he looks back, okay, he enjoyed it for the week after. But in the 3 months leading up to it, it was Gehenna. It could have been the same failure. And obviously, when it doesn't work out the way he wanted, so he's full of sadness. And he adds another point. B'toiva, and even when things do go his way, he's still anxious and distressed. Why? Because the person is not living with the knowledge that Hashem is caring with me for me in the best way possible. So let's say he made that business deal and he made the money, but he suddenly realizes that he missed a certain detail. He could have made that much more. So he's in distress about that too. If you notice, this is often the case, even when the things do go well, but there's this and there's that. You need bitachon even to enjoy the successes, even to enjoy the good things and be able to let go of all the better things that could have been. You ever notice that? Kind of like when you bring out dessert, the kids are waiting anxiously. You're all excited to see what the dessert is, right? You bring out a special kind of cake. It has all kinds of disgusting colors on it, but it's very exciting to see. The kids are going to take one bite and not eat the rest. But what happens? You bring out the platter, everyone's all excited. Where did the problem start? The cake comes closer to the table, and people see that there are 5 slices, and there are differences of a few milligrams between one and the other. And then the tensions shoot up. And the whole table becomes, right, everyone's uptight. And who's going to get the one with those added milliliters that you're not even going to sense when you eat them anyways? And the poor people who didn't can't enjoy their cake anymore. So, okay, we can look at this and laugh, but this is true in the adult world also. And that's why he's saying you need bitachon even to enjoy the good things, the straight good things and the successes. You need bitachon to just be able to say, wow, let me enjoy what I got. This is Hashem's bracha for me. No more than this was relevant. No more than this would have been good for me. And of course, when things don't go his way, what seems to be bad, he doesn't want it. He can get tavosa vitiva midoisov. It's conflicting with his whole existence. And Taka the Chacham said, Mishlei said, Kol yimei ani roim. All the days of a pauper are bad. It's a sad life, the life of a pauper. So whose life is good? What's the opposite of a pauper? The rich man, right? No, that's not what Mishlei says. The opposite of the pauper is toiv lev, mishtet tami. The person with the right attitude. The person with the right attitude, mishtet tamid, his whole life is one long party. This is a very, very profound point. He's saying there's two sides to the coin. There isn't poor and rich. There's poor and a good attitude, which is reminiscent of what? What does it reflect? Obviously reflects the famous Mishnah. How do you define rich? Yes, the opposite of poor is rich. What's the definition of rich? Sameach Bechelke, the person who knows how to enjoy what he has. So who's poor? Person who doesn't know how to enjoy what he has. The Mara has an amazing point about this, where he basically brings out the point that poor is not a matter of how much do I have. Poor is a matter of how much do I think I need. What do I feel I'm lacking? That's poor versus rich is the person who feels that his existence is full. And you're talking to see that, right? The person you have a upper middle class person living in a poorer area will enjoy life. Whereas if he's living in a very wealthy area, his life is sad. He doesn't have all the luxuries that he sees around him. So let's read that pasuk again. All the days of a pauper are bad. Whereas the person with the good attitude, his life is one long party. Okay, so that's difference number two. Again, the person with bitachon, the person without bitachon are involved in the same ishtadlus. But the person with bitachon goes through it comfortably, happily, both in the stage of making the efforts and afterwards, whether it was what he wanted, whether it was almost what he wanted, whether it wasn't what he wanted, he moves through it with peace and equanimity. Whereas the person without bitachon is distressed leading up to it. And when it actually does play out, he's likely then also not to quite enjoy it because, oh, but maybe it could have been, it should have been. Ashlishi. What is difference number three? Kabater Belekin, when you have the person with bitachon, the im yisasek besibos, even when he is busy with the material efforts, material needs, he's putting his efforts into his business. He's putting efforts into making a sensible decision. What's the route to take? He's putting his efforts into who should I approach for help? Okay. In his mind, he's not putting all of his weight on these causes. He doesn't see them as the source of his success or of his failure. It's only Hashem's will. And these are just technical mediums that I have to put in place. Right? This is the example that we've given often. When he's trying to decide, okay, what's the route to take? Should I go into real estate or should I go into accounting? So he makes the decision on the real estate, and now he's like with a certain apprehensive heart, I hope that real estate will really bring me the bracha I need. And he's the whole time kind of looking to the side at the accounting field. Maybe I missed the boat. Whereas the Baal Bitachon says, it doesn't really matter. Neither real estate nor accounting provides parnas. What is it that I need to do? Hashem tells me, make a responsible decision. So that's what I'm sitting down and doing. I'm exploring my options. Is this sensible? Is this sensible? Is one clearly more sensible than the other? Without obsessing too much, if they're both pretty much equal factors, then both are the right decision. Either of the two is the right decision. And if I went into real estate, and it made sense, and there was some strange twist in the market, and the market dropped, I'm stuck. So I don't turn around and say, oh, I should have taken the accounting route. Real estate was not the answer. No, you made a responsible choice. Real estate was the answer. You went about the efforts that Hashem expected you to do. And Hashem decided that this is good for your long-term reality. Had you gone into accounting, you wouldn't have gotten clients. And then you would have looked at the real estate and said, oh, I should have done that. That's the feeling of the Baal Bitachon. In the same way, let's say you need to approach somebody for help. So the person without Bitachon, let's say I need help from somebody. I need his connection to get me that job or to get me that deal or whatever it is. So the person with Bitachon will say, okay, what are the steps I need to take to try to get this guy to help me? Maybe Hashem will decide we'll come from somewhere else. But let me write him a nice letter. And I'm going to put reasonable efforts into writing a nice letter that can have the desired effect. I send off the letter, and that's it. I don't think afterwards, ooh, maybe I should have added this, or shouldn't have said it that way. And also, well, maybe all kinds of different thoughts of what can I do? A lot of emotional energy into earning this person's favor and not doing anything to displease him. No, go about kind of like in a technical way, define for yourself. What's the effort I need to make? Press send or drop the envelope into the mailbox. They still exist. And so you did yours. Now forget about it. Now the question is, let's see what Hashem is going to do. This man is not the source of my success. Achmis Asik Bahen, why am I choosing real estate or accounting? Why am I writing the letter to this person, etc.? The reason I'm doing this is Livchar Ba'avoida Saboyre Asher Tzival Is Asik Ba'olam LeYashva LeZayin. I'm doing this because Hashem wants me to be doing it. Now, so again, you ask yourself, why am I engaging in a profession? Why am I taking the route of real estate? Because Hashem says, this is the way I want the world to work. And I'm adding another point. This is, he's referring back to a discussion that he had back in Shavuot the Seder Kim. Hashem wants a functioning world. Hashem wants a world where there are plumbers available, and there's electricians, and there are car dealers and real estates and lawyers and etc. And therefore, that's another reason why I'm engaging in the profession. Because Hashem wants a functioning world and I'm cooperating with Hashem's will. I'm doing those things and now I'm leaving it up to Hashem to decide how big of a slice of cake should I get out of that. I'm doing what I need to do because I know that this is what Hashem wants of me. And as we discussed, this is the attitude for all areas of life. V'im tagi'eyu to'eles ayidoche b'enan ezek. And if, what do you know, surprise, surprise, you built up a business and it's actually bringing you income. Or you put in the effort to find the right doctor and you were healed. So what's your attitude? Thank you, Hashem, for providing me with my need, for caring for me. And don't say, wow, I knew real estate was the way to go. It's good I made that decision. And I'm going to tell everybody I know, only real estate, only real estate. Forget about anything else. That's where it is. No, don't connect to it emotionally. And when it comes to the doctor, I'll help you also. Don't figure out, okay, wow, how can I keep in this guy's good graces? Figure out, how do I express my gratitude in a menschlicher kind of way, but without that sense of, how can I put everything into that letter to make sure that he'll remember me? And no, they're already crossing the line of bitachon. You don't suddenly feel secure. Okay, well, it's good I'm in this field. This field is a secure field. No, right now, this is where Hashem is sending me my parnasa from. Maybe next month it'll be from somewhere else. On the contrary, so Hashem is caring for me. That reinforces my trust in Him. And as much as you can in your mind, move the natural causes out of the way and say, I punched my card and look how Hashem is caring for me. And if you made those efforts and they didn't provide the goods, then Hashem has what you need to get. Hashem has it planned for you at precisely the right time. And it can come from all kinds of different directions. Maybe it'll come from your profession. And maybe exactly then, you'll hear about some, what they call it again, the that the U.S. government gave out then, those grants, right? Yeah, those grants that suddenly came from left field, the stimulus payments, right? That suddenly come from left field, or all of a sudden, you hear about an inheritance from a cousin you never knew existed, but somehow you ended up, and don't go the route of thinking, it's such a shame. Now I have to waste my stimulus payment on the next 2 months' parnasa when I should have been making it. No, your parnasa was planned from time beginning that up until June, it'll come through your job. And then July, August, it's going to come from somewhere completely different from those stimulus payments. And also, if you remember, this is really a review of what we've seen earlier. When it comes to your ishtadlis, don't drop the ishtadlis because it's not working out. Remember, Hashem wants you to be doing this. You say, right now it's not working. But as long as it's still sensible and reasonable and responsible, keep at it. The fact that it didn't work now is because Hashem said, right now this is my plan for you. But keep at it. Persistence. As we said, if you took the real estate route, and there wasn't a significant change in the market, for whatever reason, you're not getting clients, but there isn't a discernible natural reason for it. It's just that, literally, you're not having that mazel, keep at it. Don't say, oh, this is not a good source of parnasa. No, if it's a responsible, sensible effort, it is. You might see suddenly the faucet will open up after a couple of months. And this, if you remember, we discussed this at length back in earlier in Shara Bitochen, where he said that as long as your ishtadlis is, it makes sense, it's reasonable, it's responsible, part of the chiyuv ishtadlis is to just keep at it persistently. Now, like we said, this involves having a handle on the, a finger on the pulse. If you invested in film and you're wondering why you're not getting clients, it might be because, you know, a little bit of research, as in ask your neighbor, and you may discover that nobody is using film anymore. If nobody is using film anymore, then it is time to make a change in profession. But if people are still using accountants and there isn't any normal reason why you shouldn't be getting like anybody else. So you say, Hashem is basically telling you, right now, this is my plan for you. You're making responsible, reasonable efforts. Don't go back to the drawing board. Sometimes it's just a matter of persistence. But the person who lacks bitachon, so he goes about the attitude that these causes are the sources, and I have to put all my emotional energies there, and I do recognize them as my sources of welfare. So that's difference number three. Okay, four more to go. See Blina there next week. We should have a week, an upcoming month, Bezus Hashem, of Yeshuas and Nechamas, Yisrael's Tevis, for all of Klal Yisrael.
Amen, amen. A good vach. A chodesh tov. Thank you.